Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here live and in person here in Maryland with Michael P. McCarthy.
Glad to be sitting across the table from you.
How you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's good to be here and good to see Anita in person. She's just as happy as ever. She's so happy to see me here. Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight, Michael. Open, that means our listeners are our guests. They get to call in, ask a question that they want. Anything, any topic on personal finances, they're able to ask, and we're here to help and answer and hopefully give them some direction on the question that they have. And that's why we like to do open shows, is to help our listeners with financial issues that they have, may have. You know, personal finances have become far more complicated than they've ever were 20, 30, even just 10 years ago. And, you know, you just don't get good comprehensive advice. You know, somebody can give you advice over here about insurance, but does it really mesh with your whole outlook? You know, that's why you have a quarterback on or a coach, you know, somebody who can look at the big picture, see what's going on, and guide the team. That's what a real comprehensive financial advisor should do. And that's why we do this show, is to demonstrate that and also to answer your questions. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in, ask a question. And since I'm here in person, gosh, you ought to just call in just to say, yeah, it's good to have you in Maryland, cold with the rest of us.
Cold with the rest of us. Yeah, you didn't bring that sunshine like you said you would.
Well, I got the rain to stop, didn't I?
You did get the rain to stop. Thank you for that.
Anyway, we're here on an open show. We're going to go to our first caller, Karen in Sparks. Karen, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I wanted to know if the FDIC and the NCUA for credit unions are just as protective.
Yeah, they're basically one and the same in many ways. I mean, they're different organizations, but they both have the carte blanche guarantee of the United States government on them. And they both have the same insurance policies. So whatever it would be insured under an FDIC account would also be insured under a credit union account. So they're basically the same. Nothing you have to worry about in that regard.
Okay. And I file my tax preparer, file my income tax return.
Okay.
And I got a notice back from the federal government that they want to make sure that I am who I say I am.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but that you do have to go through the process, unfortunately. Do you realize how much money the U.S. government and the state of Maryland and all the other states in the country, let's just deal with the government. You know how much money they gave out to identity thieves over the last 10, 20 years? It's probably easily, this is just a guess, but I'm going to guess it's easily $100 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 20 years, people just filing false returns saying, hey, I'm Karen, and, you know, I want a refund of $5,000. And you see, under the old system, when they get the tax return, they would just send the money out to the person who sent the tax return in. And then they would do the compliance work afterward. Well, identity thefts pick up on this, and they started to file fake returns. And the government was just carte blanche sending money out to them. And, you know, and then people like Karen file their return, and they say, oh, no, we need to make sure this is you because we already got a return in your name. So you have to go through whatever it says in the letter. You have to do, unfortunately.
In 2016, the IRS gave out $21 billion to IRS tax to fraudulent returns.
So over 20 years, I'm probably low on my $100 billion number, you know?
Yep.
And you know, they've done some things to try to make it more efficient and try to weed this out. Well, now they're getting to the point where they're getting a lot more aggressive, and unfortunately, law-abiding citizens are caught up in this web now.
Right, even though I've lived here for 50 years.
I understand. And They're doing it, and you have no choice. If you want whatever result came from that, you have to follow through with what they're saying there.
It's pretty lengthy process. So there's like 6 different codes you have to remember.
A lot of times what we've had to do with clients, we've had to sit them down. We had to get out their driver's license. We had to take pictures of them, then send the picture of their driver's license to the IRS, and it's just ridiculous. We've even had times where IRS agents got onto a video call with us to try to prove that it was the person who they say it is. So you just have to do it. It's unfortunate, but you're stuck. I wish I had a better answer.
Yeah, I have to do all that stuff, but some of these senior citizens don't have phones, cell phones.
I understand.
And some of them are disabled and can't go downtown Baltimore.
It's disappointing, but they allowed it to fester for too long until they started to try to bring it under control, and now they're being ridiculous about it. But we're stuck. Nothing we can do. All right, great call,
okay.
Great
Thanks
question.
A lot.
I wish there was something better we could do. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, Arnold, we're going to have to ask you to hold, but there are plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. But be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. We're on an open show. We still have plenty of opens. Nobody called in while we were on the break. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. 410-922-6680. We're going to go to Arnold in Severna Park. Arnold, how can we help you?
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I actually bought a home in Florida to get away from the constant harassment of the Maryland Comptroller's Office.
Okay.
My question is actually, I guess, maybe simple, because no one seems to know the answer to it. The only reason I'm still up here in this state is I have to address some health issues, and I have heard we have better medical care than at least where I am in Florida, in the Tampa Clearwater area.
Okay.
But I have not registered as a Florida citizen yet, and I inherited an IRA from my father with a substantial sum. And I, under the old rule, I heard that I had up to 10 years to deplete it, and figured, fine, I'll do it when I'm in Florida, and that way I don't have to give Maryland any cut of it.
Right.
But I understand the rules changed.
There is a slight change. How old are you approximately this year?
I am 55.
And what year did your father die?
In 2021, January.
January of 2021. So in 2022, you would have been 54 years of age, right?
Correct.
So what you what the interpretation that the IRS has given us now, that you have to start applying in 2023 on, right, is you have to use your single life expectancy of 54 years of age, which would approximately be 33 years. You use 33 as your denominator. Well, actually, this year you would use 32. So you take your denominator that's derived from the year after your father's death. That would have been when you were 34. So that denominator would approximately be 34. You look at this up on an IRS single life expectancy table, and you get that. Mikey will even do it while we're here, and we'll tell you what it is. And so he was 30. He was 54 years of age. So I'm guessing it's going to be around 33. And then you subtract one the next year, and then you subtract one the next year, and then you subtract one the next year. And then in the 10th year, you have to deplete the entire account by December 31st of the 10th year, 2031. Okay, so that year, you have to have the entire account depleted. But each year, you're going to have to take the value of the account on December 31st, 2022, divided by your denominator, which is going to start in approximately this 33, 34 range, and you're going to subtract one. So let's say it's 34. You subtract one, it's 33. Let's say the account was worth $500,000. You divide 33 into $500,000. That's how much you're going to have to take out in this year. And then you go minus one the next year, minus one the next year, and you just keep doing that, divided by the balance at the end of the year before December 31st.
My question was, is this the first? Because I haven't taken anything.
No, this is the first year you're going to have to apply these rules. They're giving us gratis. They said, okay, you didn't do it the first 2 years. We're going to forgive you from now on.
Okay, yeah, because what I wanted to make sure was I'm trying to register as a Florida resident as soon as possible, obviously, but I'm wondering what the very minimum amount that I have to take out.
So what's the factor, Mike?
32.5 at 34. Very good.
32.5. Yeah, so it's
31.4 for this year.
Your denominator is 31.5. Go look up the balance of the account on December 31st, 2022. And divide that 31.5 into that. And then keep that number in mind, because next year it's going to be 30.5 is your denominator. So what is that? That's about 3%, right? It's just about 3%. So if your account's 500,000, it's going to be 15,000 they're going to force you to take out.
Okay. Yeah, that was what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And no one seemed to know hardly anything about it. They know that the new rule's there, but they didn't know how it worked or anything.
That's all you got to do. You start from this year, and then by December 31st, 2031, you have to have everything out of there. And just because you're getting medical care here does not stop you from becoming a Florida resident.
Yeah, but some of it's complicated, and it may push me over the six-month limit or whatever.
Well, remember, the 6 months is not the rule for if you're a Maryland resident or not. 6 months is an issue.
It's a test.
It's a test, but it's not the only test they use. And so just because you're here maybe 6 months, it doesn't force you to be a Marylander, okay? So just keep that in mind. I got to run, Arnold. Great question.
Great.
And we're going to Thomas in Columbia. Thomas, how can I help you?
My son kind of messed up, and he's 31, and he declared bankruptcy. I think he's seen Jesus or religion or whatever, and he's cleaning his act up. Good for him. But he just had it completed the discharge of bankruptcy, and he's got the papers. It's all done now. And so the question on his behalf is, what steps does he need to do now to, systematically reestablish some credit, get himself, good credit, obviously pay his bills. But beyond that, one, two, three, what are most important things he can do now to get that credit rating back going in the right direction?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Mike. Are you good at this?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, establishing new financial accounts if he has kicked all the psychological aspects of his problems, whenever he can establish credit again, doing so, never getting a high balance, paying it off every month, making making repeated payments, always making his payment. And those are kind of the big things. It's you take the components of the credit score and you go in reverse. You know, what do you got to do? How get let those accounts start aging.
And if he can establish one of those credit cards where you put up some money, and then you make good payments on those all the time, that's another thing that can help start to build that credit up again.
Yep.
You know, anything he can do to start showing that he's making regular payments without missing, et cetera, et cetera.
And without taking out credit he doesn't need or can't pay off.
Yeah. And
every month.
Yeah. So those are the important steps.
You said establish new credit, but I guess not. A credit card is a good a good starter, you know, maybe.
Yep. You'd be amazed at how many credit card companies will give somebody who just came out of bankruptcy a new credit card.
Yeah, he's got a couple of, offers. Of course, if you mess up, the interest rate's high, and, it's a maximum of, $1,000 or something, but it's a start, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and the important thing is that he doesn't actually use that. He uses it only to establish credit, because the thing is, the problems that get people into those issues are, can be psychological, and, it can be like a drug.
Yep.
And you don't want them to catch the
I got to run, Thomas. I appreciate the call, and I've got to run to Lou on a cell. Lou, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew.
Yeah.
I don't really have a specific question for you, per se. It's more of a philosophical question, and I'm going to love hearing your answer on this.
Go ahead.
I got a feeling I know what it's going to be, but I want to let you vent. What do you think of Biden's new mortgage equity program?
I don't even know what it is. What is it?
It's giving people that have bad credit an opportunity to get home mortgages, and penalizing people with good credit and making a pot of money available to them by penalizing the good people and shifting that money to the people that don't have good credit.
Have a loan. Well, this is an interesting question, because a lot of the roots of the 2008 crises can be linked back to policies that were brought under the Clinton administration that forced banks to make certain amount of loans to low credit worthy people in very low value homes. And at the beginning, it worked tremendously. I mean, those homes were being bought and they were being fixed up. And then the people who bought them, who sold them to them, then bought up on a higher house and a higher house. And then, next thing you know, the whole thing just got going. And next thing you know, everybody was sucked into it. And that's how that mortgage mess got started in 2007, 2006, 2007, and 2008. But it started back in 1996 when they passed these rules. And this will be the same. You got to hold on if you want to talk some more, because I got a 6:29 hard break I got to take right now, and I'll be right back.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Lou's question was a good one, and we looked it up. And yes, on Monday, they actually are starting this, where they're going to be charging higher fees to
over 680
people who have good credit scores, and less fees to people with low credit scores. Now, their claim is that it makes it more equitable for everybody and so forth. And we can't. We can't get into all the details. This is a good plan or not? But I look at it this way, Mike. The free market makes their decisions based on profitable things. When government gets involved, it usually is for the wrong reasons. This is my opinion.
Yep.
Now, there can be times when they can actually do something good, but it's a rare moment, in my opinion. Anyway, Mike, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we have lines open. We have Jonathan on the line, but we have plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680. Also, just want to remind you that I wrote a book called The Financial Physical.
Yep.
Financial Physical is a name I trademarked over 35 years ago. In 1990, well, it wasn't over 33 years ago. And the reason I trademarked that name, Financial Physical, is I dreamed of a day where financial advisors operated more like doctors, independent, fee-only fiduciaries, well-educated, experienced, highly credentialed, et cetera, working with people on comprehensive nature of their personal finances, because personal finances are just getting too complex. And so I wrote the book to talk about how I feel the industry is still heavily sales-oriented and not professional-oriented, and why the only way it's going to change is from the public out. It's not going to change from the industry out. It's going to change from the public demanding this is the type of services that we want. We're not going for somebody who just sells a product and so forth. So anyway, you had to get the book. I hope it's on Amazon, price to sell, $5.99. And Kindle Virgin is only $2.99. So look it up, The Financial Physical. Anyway, we're on an open show. We're going to go to Jonathan. We have lines open, 410-922-6680. Jonathan in Columbus. See, I kept talking, Mike, and he hung up on me,
No.
Drew, quit rambling. Just go to Jonathan the next time,
Well, we got open lines. So 410-922-6680. Go ahead and call in, and you'll be next. One PSA I wanted to talk about tonight, Drew, is that the number, the types
PSA
of,
isn't a prostate cancer test. It's
it's a public service announcement.
Go ahead.
But it's to make people aware of the growing frauds that are out there on the market. There's new frauds every day. We just had one recently where somebody called in trying to sell printer cartridges, and we said, no, we didn't want any. And you know what they did? Sent us a case of printer cartridges and an $800 bill, that even though we didn't order it.
Right.
And then tried to trick us into giving more information to be able to try to return them. So that's something that's out there. But the emails have gotten terrible. The big point is, unless you're 100% sure you know who you're talking to, don't offer information.
Yeah, and
make them give you information.
You get a text that says your bank is getting in touch with you. You got to get in touch with them immediately. Don't text back. Don't call them. Call your bank from another source. You get a phone call saying urgently, this is the IRS or Social Security. Don't listen to them. We got Jonathan on the line. I got to go to him before he hangs up on me again. Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, how can we help?
How can we help you?
Yes, well, I certainly enjoy your show. I found it very useful. I had a question about, hiring contractors to do small jobs around the house.
Yep.
And a small job might be $500 even, It could be something significant. So I tried Angie's List and places like that and called some of the contractors, and they really aren't interested in dealing with anything that's not a major project from what I've seen. And so I tried calling smaller contractors that you get through a hardware store on a bulletin board or something like that. And
what you're talking about is the handyman service.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm saying that's what you should look for. Like down where I live, there's one called Honey Done, and it don't matter what size of job it is. They'll come and do it. They love any size job, $50, $500, $5,000. They'll come and do it, and they do a great job. So unfortunately, you don't live down there. They could refer you to Honey Done, but I bet you there's a few of them around here that are very good at that.
Well, let me ask you, typically on small contractors, I found they don't have general liability insurance, and most of my friends, they just go ahead and hire them.
Well, you should never do that. Never, ever.
What would I get them through Honeydun? Would they tend to have a general liability or?
Oh yeah, Honeydun is a relatively successful company, but they're franchises around this area now that are just handymen, and that's all they do. They just go out and do little jobs for people.
Well, this is a unpaid not endorsement, but so Handyman on Demand has 52 five-star ratings, and they're in Reisterstown, Maryland.
Handyman. What's it called? Handyman on demand. And I'll bet you it's a franchise, and these people are just, you know, they go from job to job to job to job for throughout the day, and they you know, make $500, $200, $600, and that's how they do it. And they usually, well, they're all licensed, and you know, and so forth. Make sure you call them and ask them that before they come.
Well, let me ask you this question. This also occurred to me. If a handyman did not have general liability insurance, and you had an umbrella policy, am I using the right term?
Yeah, an umbrella policy, that would protect you to some degree. It depends on what you're trying to protect yourself from. So if the handyman brings an employee, that may not help you.
Right.
And the employee didn't have workers' comp insurance. So it's workers' comp if the handyman brings an employee. But if it's just a handyman coming from a company to do work at your house, very little chance he's going to be able to sue you for his injuries unless you did something negligent to cause him, and then your umbrella policy will cover you.
All right, I got to go with a different one. Mr. Handyman is a franchise, and there is Mr. Handyman of Northern Baltimore County with 326 five-star reviews.
Wow.
Oh, great.
Mr. Handyman. Mr. Handyman. I got to run, Jonathan.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. I just got too many calls here now. Came in. Mike in Baltimore. How can I help you?
Yes. How you doing, Drew?
Great. You?
I'm doing all right. Got a question regarding filing my Medicare.
Okay.
I turn 65 August 17th for this year. And I heard you have to file 3 months prior, else if you don't, you could be penalized and have to pay double the amount?
Correct. It's 3 months before and 3 months after. It's a total of 6 months if you don't sign up for Medicare Part B during that period of time.
Okay.
Now, I should ask you a question, though, Mike. Are you still working?
Kind of, sort of. I'm actually on medical leave now.
Okay. Well, the key is that if you're no longer working, you need to sign up for Medicare, period. Medicare Part B, 3 months before, 3 months after. If you are working, then you do not have to sign up for Medicare if your company has 20 or more employees and you're still on their medical insurance policy. Not on COBRA, just on their regular company medical insurance policy.
Okay, I did not sign up because of the end of the year. They usually have layoffs, and I was not sure, but they wind up keeping me. And now I'm on medical leave, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go back to work.
But you're still on their medical insurance, right?
No, I'm not.
Well, what medical insurance are you on?
Medicaid.
Oh, you're on Medicaid. And you turned 65 this year, right?
Yes, in August.
And then you need to sign up for Medicare 3 months before or 3 months after, without a doubt.
Anywhere in between.
Okay, or anywhere in between. You. All right, buddy. You definitely do. All right. Great question. We got to take a last pause. We're going to come back to our three callers online. Hopefully you're all holding. We'll be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the Consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410 813-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Lines are jammed now, so I'm going to have to run right through them. Mikey, are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Roger in Bel Air, how can we help you?
Yeah, let's see. We can go fast here. Income-related monthly adjustment amount really got me. That's an extra pay, extra fee that's paid for.
We have a client, Roger, who likes to call it Irma Hell.
It is beautiful. I took out some money from my IRA to help in a family emergency and to help my daughter pay off her student loan.
Yep.
I turned 65 last month. Guess what? I get hit with an extra $362 charge for taking out money for 1 year of 2021. And
let me ask you a quick question. Are you married or single?
I'm married. I filed separately.
Okay.
We can go back and look at that and see if filing jointly was better. Filing separately really messes you over big time. The thresholds are much lower and the fees much higher.
Well, you know, if you could file married filing jointly and it doesn't put you over the threshold, you could go back to Social Security Administration and say, you know, I refiled the return married filing jointly and I don't owe this. Give me a refund. They will do that. There's other exceptions to the IRMA rules, too. So, for example, if you just stopped work last year in 2022 or 21, they have to adjust your Medicare Part B surcharge. So you ought to look at the exceptions form SSA 44. Look up
disapproved. My family situation didn't qualify for any of those seven things.
Okay, well then file jointly. See if filing. Well, yeah, you can still amend that 21 return. So file jointly if your wife's willing to do it, and if it doesn't bring you into the IRMA situation, then you'd be good. All right.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we struggle with that one all the time, Mikey. Barry in Harford County, how can I help you?
Hi, Drew. Just a quick note on the government change coming up in May on the
mortgages.
Mortgages, yeah. It's my understanding, after looking at this pretty good, that this is only going to apply to conventional mortgages and not to FHA or VA.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, very interesting because then it totally exposes the conventional lenders to defaults and foreclosures, and the government just basically doesn't have to worry about it, pretty much.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't studied it enough to say one way or the other, but I'm a strong opinion that if the free market feels that they need to charge more on one or on the other, you know, that you ought to just let them do it. And when the government steps in and says you can't do it that way, usually it's for political purposes, and usually it's a bad idea. That's just my opinion. I don't know if it's right or wrong in this situation.
Well,
all right.
I'll second your opinion, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good word. You take care, and I'm going to go to Terry. Terry in Baltimore County, how can I help you?
Hi, Drew. I'd like to ask a question. Is there any place you know of to get a hypothecated loan? Years ago, I had one. I worked for the
anywhere.
Well, I have a traditional bank here in Maryland, and I have quite a bit of income in there, and they won't let me use it and, borrow against it, for I need it for dental work, and they refuse.
Well, why wouldn't you just use the cash instead of hypothecating a loan against
because
it?
Because I'm not disciplined enough. I want to put it back in.
I hear you.
It's true.
I understand. I'm saying I hear you. That's a good answer. You know.
Okay.
Good. Then go to a credit union. Take your money out of the bank. Go to a credit union. Almost every credit union will do hypothecated loans.
Well, the Maryland State Employees Credit Union will not. I called them about a week ago, and they won't do it. And I'm in good standing with them. So you just saying find another credit union?
Yeah, you know, you're surprising me because I just had a client not too long ago was doing a hypothecated loan against some CD or something, and I'm pretty sure it was like with Point Breeze, but
I was just looking up.
I'm not positive that Point Breeze was the one, but that's who I thought it was.
I can go there because that's not far from me, but the Maryland State Employees Credit Union does not offer it because they did years ago. They told me they did away with it. So maybe I'll just follow your advice and go to Point Breeze.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it on their website, but that was who I was thinking of.
Do you have a home equity credit line?
No.
Well, you know, you could do a home equity credit line and then...
No. I just took a mortgage out to put my parents at the end of my house, put an apartment on, and I'm paying on another... conventional. I don't want to do that. No.
All right. Well,
no.
I understand what you're asking for. I don't see them very often anymore, but I know that there are banks that still do them.
Okay. I'm going to look that up. Thank you so
all
much.
Right. Take care, Terry. That's the only good answer that you could have given me was I'm not disciplined to pay myself back and I'm willing to pay the interest to do that. Claude in Baltimore, how can I help you?
Hey, bud, I want to let you know I'm a private investigator and there's a scam going around with people saying they're representing BG&E.
Yeah.
They're with a Clear Energy or whatever. And what they're doing, they say they're with BG&E and they need to see your bill. And then all of a sudden when you look at the bill, they have you sign something saying, oh, you're going to get some free light bulbs or whatever, or you're going to get a rebate. And next thing you know, you're stuck into a contract with them.
Yeah, so this is what the scam is they're going around and they're claiming to be BG&E and then they sign you up. You know how you can select your energy provider?
Right.
So then you select your energy provider to be them, and then your bill goes up.
Yeah.
And they make a commission.
Well, how do you get them off your bill if you didn't really, you got tricked into it? You know what I mean? Because I know a couple of veterans right now that are going through this.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly reach out to BG&E and explain that, what's happened. I know that those things have agreements, but BG&E probably has some over.
The best one would be to also reach out to the attorney generals of the state of Maryland and Baltimore County.
Yep.
And, because normally if it's a fraudulent contract like that and it's a manipulated contract, they know what's going on and they'll overturn it for them.
And the hard thing is, and this is what I've been saying, it is so hard to do normal business today because so many things look like a fraud. They drive around in these white pickup trucks that say BG&E on them because they've got a sticker. But there's also actual, separate contractors BG&E has that drive around with white pickup trucks that say contractor of BG&E.
Yeah.
Well, also, and people, remember, they need a surety bond. If somebody's doing work for your house,
oh yeah,
they should have a surety bond because that way if they run off with the money, the surety bond will cover you. And
yep.
If they don't have make sure they have a COI. If you don't have a COI, don't do business.
Yeah, so, if you have a contractor come to your house, you definitely want to know that they're licensed and that they have workers' comp insurance. That's another one. Very common that...
And the COI is Certificate of Insurance.
The Certificate of Insurance. And here's an interesting thing. Claude's bringing up a great point. So when somebody would come to my house to do work, even my good friend Kelly, who would come to work at my house, I would make him give me... I'd make him give me a certificate of insurance to prove that he had business insurances on his company, workers' comp and so forth. But I wouldn't get that certificate of insurance, Mike, from Kelly. I wouldn't let him just give me a Xerox copy of his certificate of insurance. I made him get his agent to send it to me. Always, always, always get the certificate of insurance from the company you're hiring, from the agency that they do their insurance with, not get a copy that they just hand to you. That is not a good thing because they can make those up if they want to, number one. Number two, even if it is legitimate, they could stop paying premiums anytime they want to. The agent, when they send you that, they're saying, this policy is in force, I'm the agent, and I have an obligation to let you know if this policy is canceled within a certain period of time. That's why you always get it from the agent. Always, always. Right, Mike? Always.
Absolutely, always.
Always get it from the agent. And sometimes the contractors kind of get gruff with you, like if you ask for them to send it from the agent, like, what does it matter? You don't trust me? No, I don't trust you. I don't know you any better than you know me. And I don't know if you're going to continue to pay your premiums in the future. So get your agent to send it if you want to continue to do this work. Anyway, we're almost out of time, Mike.
I'll just share one thing is that If you are subject to one of these BG&E scams, BG&E has a phone number for you to call. It's 1-800-685-0123. That's 1-800-685-0123. Coming from your official Googler on Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Dr. Google knows everything, you know? Anyway, you figure there'd be enough people out there who probably had been run into that BG&E has done something to try to help.
Yeah, and no, absolutely. I mean, it's a big problem. They know about it.
Yeah. You know, I think when you get these people who scam people like this, especially senior citizens, they should take them into the court and hang them and let their bodies sit there.
That might be
until
a bit much.
No, I'm serious. Until the birds eat all the flesh off their body.
Okay. Well, on a lighter note, have a wonderful.
I mean, that's what you got to do with people like that. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gone.